Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, are you ready to move forward in the Word of God? God is good, and His mercy endures forever and all time. You know, this morning I was able to listen in for a little while on my morning glory prayer call, and what Pastor Fred was talking about was counting your blessings. You know, counting your blessings, and I'm like, wow, he's all up in my business. But you know what? We do have to count our blessings. So many times, it gets hard. And, you know, we want to talk about all the things that are wrong in our life, but we need to talk about the things that are that we're blessed for. So I'm so blessed to have my family. You know, I'm blessed to have all of you. I'm blessed just to be a blessing. And I'm thanking God for another day. You know, and I ask God daily, Lord, give me strength. And, you know, and every morning when I come on, I tell you I'm thankful and I'm grateful and I'm blessed. But sometimes we got to remember that we can say words and not have the feeling that goes with it. So I'm going with the feelings that go with it. I'm thankful that God woke me up this morning because somebody didn't wake up. Somebody didn't get a do-over, didn't get another opportunity to be better today than they were yesterday. So I'm thanking God today for this new day. I'm grateful that God has given me family. He has given me good friends. He has given me sisters in Christ who I know that have my back, who are true. You know, we have acquaintances, but only God gives us just a few true friends. And so I'm grateful to have some true friends. You know, who tell me about myself. You know, sometimes, you know, you want those fair weather friends that just say, oh, you beautiful, you this, you that, and not the ones that will tell you, girl, you know you need to do some cleaning. You know, so I thank God for my sister. And I'm not offended. You know, folks want to walk in offense, but God told us we need to be grateful. Come on now. We got to be grateful because God has blessed us with his son, nobody else but his son. He sent not a surrogate. He sent his son. He sent a part of himself to this wicked old world for us. He sent Jesus for me. He sent Jesus for you. He sent his son. He sent himself for us, and we should know how we are, and we should be thankful because we are blessed. We should be grateful because we are blessed, and we are blessed because we are God's sons and daughters, and he has blessed us with eternal life through salvation and the blood of Christ. So I'm thankful this morning. I'm grateful this morning. And I know that I'm blessed. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus, for another day. And, you know, as a little kid, you used to do your little thing. Thank you for this brand new day. I will not waste it. I'll throw it away. And that's how we got to look at life, as the eyes of a child. I will not throw this day away. I got all kind of work to do. All kind of work to do. But God will bring us through it. He won't bring you to it unless he's going to bring you through it. And it's not just a cliche. It's a reality. God has never brought me to anything that he has not gotten me through. So I'm grateful. I am thankful. And I'm blessed. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your kindness, your goodness and your mercy, God, toward each and every one of us. Thank you, God, for giving us a brand new day. Thank you, God, for loving us more than we even love ourselves, God. Thank you for just being who you are. You are Alpha, you are Omega, you are beginning, you are end, you are Elohim. You are Father. You are Elder. You are Don. You are Yah. You are Jehovah. You are absolutely special in my heart. Because I know that you love me. And you care about me. And you want the best for me. And all I can say is thank you, Daddy. Thank you. And so, Father God, I ask you to please increase as good God as decreases. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But Lord God, Father God, Daddy God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And I lift up this word this morning in the precious and the holy name of the matchless saints. There's no one like him. Christ Jesus, I thank you for being my Savior, for being my friend, for being the lover of my soul. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. You know, folks don't know what to go through, but God does. He knows everything about you. He knows your good, he knows your bad, and he knows your ugly. Come on now. But let's get into the word today, because you know what? The prophet is speaking this morning, and the apostle has a word to say. But those that are just joining this moving forward experience, this is annual Bible study. What we do every day, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, God willing, we read the Word of God. I read the Word of God. I'm looking for reading. I have some volunteers that are going to be coming on within the next year, and I'm excited because my godmother is one of them, who is a mighty woman of God, an absolutely awesome minister, and just a wonderful, give great hugs. Godmother. So she is Mother Rita's sister, and so I'm excited because you all know how we love Mother Rita, and we are praying for her, and we are lifting her up, and we are thanking God for her, and we know that your prayers are working, and we are thanking God for it. So let's continue in our word this morning. That's all I can say. Jeremiah has been speaking, and not one time has he said anything that was not true. He has gotten the king's attention. And there are those that are going to hate you when you tell them the truth. There are those that are not going to want to be open to what you got to say. Let it go. Shake it off. Move forward. And this is what the word of God gave me. He says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And as we go through this political season, look at where your money is coming from some of the candidates that are running in your area. Where do they get their money? Are they getting their money from mom and pop, from you and I? Are they getting their money from big business? In pharma and things that are not going to help you, but are going to make some companies very, very rich if this person gets in office. We got to look at the big picture. Why do people do what they do? Do they do it out of the goodness of their heart? Are they after more money? You know, the Wayans brothers used to say, Wayans brothers used to talk about, I think I forgot one of their movies, and one of their lines was, more money, more money, more money. And that is what's going on in our world today. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. But we have to look at what does the word of God say. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. We have so much going on in our world, sex trafficking, children being hurt for money, women being exploited for money, churches being built not because the person loves God, but because they heard that it's a money maker. Nobody talking about souls and how we need money to take care of the poor, or we are needing money to do what we need to do for the community. But no, I need a new jet. I need a new Rolls Royce. I'm supposed to be driving that Lamborghini as the widow, as the single mom, as the family in your congregation are struggling. You asking them to give you more money, not a God. And understand that everything we do, God is watching. Paul is going to preach today, and he's going to let you know what's going on. And even in the day of Jeremiah, you know, the kings and the princes and the elite of Israel and Judah were living it up, living life like it's golden, and no God in it. When Jehoiakim burned the scroll, there was not one outfit torn, not one person repenting, not one person saying, Lord, forgive me, not one person doing anything but looking like, huh, oh, well, we got rid of that little prophet's word. Not understand that God know how to do a duplicate. Come on now. You cannot take the word of God and think you can burn it up because it's common. And what is said is going to happen because God don't play. So let's get in our word this morning. Please join me in Jeremiah chapter 39 through chapter 40. Our 119th psalm today is capped, and we'll be in verses 81 through 88. Our proverb today is just Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. And we're going to come out and finish strong in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And tomorrow, God willing, starting in a new book in the New Testament, we will be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So I'm excited because God knows, whew, we got some word going on. Actually, we will not be in 2 Timothy. We'll be in 2 Timothy on Sunday. I mean, 1 Timothy, I'm sorry, y'all, give me a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 1 on Sunday. Tomorrow will be Old Testament Friday, if that is God's will. But it could be 1 Timothy. I'll just pray about it, and God, you know, when you come on, you'll know where we are. So let's get in the word. And again, for those that are just joining us, I am in the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. I'm in the New King James Version. So when you hear me say life lesson, life questions, life answers, what the Bible says, those are commentary from Dr. Stanley. And again, I'm not paid by his ministries to do this. I love this Bible. And I will tell anybody, buy this Bible. It is that great a Bible to have in your biblical arsenal. Because, again, this is our weapon of war. We fight with the word of God. Jesus did it, and we can do it too. When the enemy comes at you, you got to have a word. And the word of God is your word of choice and your weapon of choice. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember that. principalities, powers. We are wrestling against the darkness, and we got to know the light, and that light is the Word of God. That weapon is the Word of God, because light and darkness cannot reside in the same space. So let's get going. Hallelujah. For my King James readers, if you go out to Blog Talk Radio, our word is that I put out for the day wherever our lesson is coming out of, I do put it out there in King James. But I read New King James. So I am a King James reader. Don't get it twisted, because I do comparisons. I will compare a whole lot of words with King James. And if it does not make sense and it's not in context, you won't hear it on this law. So let's get it going. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it. Everything Jeremiah said was going to happen, starting now. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, on the 9th day of the month, the city was penetrated. Then all the princes of the kingdom of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Nargal, Sherazar, Shamgar, Nebo, Shart, Shakam, Rabias, Nargal, Sherazar, Rabnag, with the rest of the princes of the king of Babylon. So it was when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, that they fled and went out of the city by night by way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls, and he went out by way of the plain. But the Galilean army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had captured him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in Rabbah in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes in Rabbah. The king of Babylon also killed all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire, and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive to Babylon the remnant of the people who remained in the city and those who defected to them with the rest of the people who remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left in the land of Judah the poor people who had nothing and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. So the half had to give all they stuff as they were going into captivity to the have-nots that they had looked down upon, who they had treated badly, who they had enslaved when God had told them to release them. And it goes on to say, now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look after him, and do him no harm, but do to him just as he says to you. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent Nebuzaradan, Rabash, Nargal, Sherazar, Rabnag, and all the king of Babylon's chief officers, and they sent someone to take Jeremiah from the court of the prison and committed him to Gedaliah, the son of Ashkenaz, the son of Shaphan, that he would take him home. So he dwelt among the people. Meanwhile, the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for adversity and not for good. And they shall be performed in that day before you. But I will deliver you in that day, says the Lord. And you shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you. Because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. Understand, he was the one that saved Jeremiah's life. When they threw him in the pit and they threw him in the muck and the mire. This man, this eunuch, this immigrant, protected God's prophet. And God is about to reward him. And it says in Jeremiah 39:18, life lesson, your life shall be as a prize to you because you have put your trust in me. Are you putting your trust in God or are you putting your trust in money and stuff and things? Although we are in Jeremiah, same thing. All these kings and princes who lost their life were more concerned about the love of money and stuff and worshiping idols, people, places, and things, and worshiping the Almighty God who brought their forefathers out of Egypt and out of bondage. And it goes on to tell us, Ebed Melech, the Ethiopian, had no way of knowing that when he helped Jeremiah, he was actually helping himself. He displayed his genuine faith by risking his life for the prophet, and God gave him his life as a reward. Chapter 40 of Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, Abbot, never reserved him, the captain of the guard, and let him go from Ramah. When he had taken him bound and chained among all who were carried away captive from Jerusalem and Judah, he was carried away captive to Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, the Lord your God has pronounced his doom on this place. Now the Lord has brought it and has done just as he said, because you people have sinned against the Lord and not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you. And now look, I free you this day from the chains that were on your hands. If it seems good to you to come with me to Babylon, come, and I will look after you. But if it seems wrong for you to come with me to Babylon, remain here. See, all the land is before you. Wherever it seems good and convenient for you, go there. Now, while Jeremiah had not yet gone back, Nebuchadnezzar said, go back to Gedaliah, the son of Akam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go wherever it seems convenient for you to go. So the captain of the guard gave him rations and a gift and let him go. And Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, the son of Akim, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people who were left in the land. And when all the captains of the armies who were in the field, they and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Akim, governor in the land, and had committed to him men, women, children, and the poor of the land who had not been carried away captive to Babylon, then they came to Gedaliah, Mizpah, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, Jehanan, and Jonathan, the son of Shiriah, the son of Tanith, the son of Ephi, and Netophathite, and Jezaniah, the son of Mekanite, and they and their men. And Gedaliah, the son of Akim, the son of Shaphan, took an oath before them and their men, saying, do not be afraid to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will be well with you. As for me, I will dwell in Mizpah and serve the Chaldeans who come to us. But you gather wine and summer fruit and oil, put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that you have taken. Likewise, when all the Jews who were in Moab among the Ammonites and Edom, and who were in all the cities, heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah and that he had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Akim, the son of Shaphan, then all the Jews returned out of all places where they had been driven and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah, Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruit in abundance. Moreover, Johanan, the son of Korah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields came to Gedaliah, Mizpah, and said to him, do you certainly know that Balas, the king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to murder you? But Gedaliah, the son of Akim, did not believe them. Then Johanan, the son of Korah, spoke secretly to Gedaliah and Mithra and said, let me go, please, and I will kill Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no one will know it. Why would he murder you so that all the Jews who are gathered to you will be scattered and the remnant in Judah perish? But Gedaliah, the son of Ekron, said, Johanan, the son of Korah, you shall not do this thing, for you speak falsely concerning Ishmael. We'll find out more on tomorrow. We'll find out more on tomorrow. That's all I'm just gonna is that da-da, you know, on those shows that has to be continued. That is to be continued in tomorrow's lesson. And as we go into our 119th Psalm cast, and it says, my soul thanks for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Ooh, that's one of my highlightables. That does something to my spirit because I hope in the word of God every day. Even if I do this all by myself, God's word is still going into the atmosphere. And all I can say is thank you, God. My soul thanks for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? But I've become like wineskin and smoke. We all go through. Yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your service? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. Folks, okay, talk about this. Drag your name through the mud. But God knows who you are. He knows the true you. He knows the one that he loves, the one that is the real you. God don't look at the surface. God don't look at your mess. He looks at your heart. Is your heart fighting God? And he goes on to say, they almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. What a word. What a mighty God we serve. A loving and kind God. One who looks at our hearts. That's why we pray, getting a clean heart and a right spirit. Hallelujah. Does the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion? Proverbs 28:1. One more time, my bold lion. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Hallelujah. My lion and lion. God, for your boldness, you're not afraid to worship. I'm not afraid to worship. I'm going to give God my best praise because God has given me more than I could ever ask for and more than I could ever need because he loves me and I love him. Right back, I love God. And I'm thankful every day that God loves me too. Woo! About to shout up in here this morning. Come on, y'all. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6. And I'm going to tell you, y'all already know, we've been talked about it many times. Paul and I have a relationship. Sometimes I agree with him and sometimes I don't. But I take his word as divine. And I ask God to take away anything in me that's not like him. Because God will give you the discernment to understand that something that Paul speaks, he will tell you, this is my personal opinion. This is not what God told me, but this is my personal opinion. Because he will say, I, Paul, believe. Or I, Paul, say this. Or I, Paul, say that. Not God's will, not that God told me to say it, but I all believe it. So, you know, when we read any of the works of Paul, any of his letters, look for the personal. Because I believe one thing, and Paul might believe something else. Both what we think might be right in different ways. So, this is my opinion, and that's what say, I, Bridget, say this. Just like I, Paul, say that. So let's get into what Paul said. As he lets you know, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And, you know, in history, you learn about the slave Bible. And what the slave Bibles did, they went through the word of God and took out everything to deal with bondage and put it in their Bible. And they would read it to the slaves to make them, to tell them, you're supposed to be in bondage. You're supposed to like it. You're supposed to honor me. I'm supposed to be over you. You're supposed to not try to run away. But they don't put the part for God, please. They don't put the part where you're strong in God. They took out all the things that dealt with freedom and liberty and justice and the love of God and put it all in the love of Master. And so this is one of those things that they took out of 1 Timothy, the peace faith in bondage. Let as many bond servants, and they put slaves, I'm sure, as are under the yoke count their own master worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are brethren are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, revealing evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who support that godliness is a means of gain. Come on now. That love of money. From such, withdraw yourself. I'm going to read that again, because Paul is trying to get us an understanding that, you know, just because somebody's in the house of God, all about Lord, Lord, but with their hand out, not for the church, not for the building of God's kingdom, but for their own personal gain. He's getting us an understanding that there is wickedness in the body of Christ, and we got to show the wheat from the tares. And I'm going to tell you, God is pulling up a whole bunch of wood. Tare is weeds. God is pulling weeds out of a lot of his houses right now. Why you wonder why you're seeing all these different mega pastors falling? Weeds. Because God is saying, no more. My people need true leadership. I'm grateful every day that I have a pastor that preaches the word of God. She don't talk it. She lives it. And I don't care what Paul has to say about women being in senior leadership. I would take my pastor over some of the male pastors out there any day when all they're talking about is prosperity, 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 and helping nobody. That woman of God will give the shirt off her back, literally. I've seen her do it. Give what she has to somebody else because they need it. Work. Work, 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 work to better God's kingdom. We've got to understand we are in a day where God is calling all his saints to go to work. And we got to go to work because we work for God, not for somebody, but for God. And it's not about finances. It's about paying your tithes, giving your talent, giving your tenth to God. And I know there's some that say, well, you know, that tithe thing, that's wrong. God wants your best. God wants your best. And the church does not function without money. You got to pay for the light bill just like you do at your house. That's why you work, to take care of your home. You got to take care of the house of God. You got to pay the light bill. You got to pay the water bill. You got to pay the heating bill or the cooling bill. You got to pay to keep it clean. You got to pay for repairs. That doesn't come from a dollar a week. Unless that dollar is your tenth, then God will make it $100. If that is your best fruit that you can pay, then God will double it, triple it, and quadruple it. It's giving God our best, and he will make the rest of it right. But we still got to be able to pay the bill. And you're supposed to pay your pastor something. Come on, man. Making folks rich, but the ones that are doing the work whine and complain about it. Come on, we got to do better as children of God. And I'm going back to verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. Y'all catch that? He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. I was trying to start stuff. From which come envy, come on now, strife, revealing, evil suspicions, useless wrangling of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from which withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. But we brought nothing into this world. We talk about this all the time. One more time. But we brought nothing into this world. And it's certain we can carry nothing out. All your stuff, just look around your room, wherever you might be. Everything you see in it, you cannot take with you. Everything you see in it is stuff that somebody else is going to have to deal with when you leave this earth. Everything you have, you cannot take. And I told you the story of the greedy man, kind of money. So this widow, when I die, you put all my money in my casket with me. You give, put all my money in my grave, in my mausoleum. I want it all to go with me. You put all my money in with me. On the day of the funeral, exactly what he did. His cast in the form of chest. Let me see you cast it. Just to say, the widow's doing fine. We got to understand. Richy rich. You can be rich as you want to be. I'd rather be rich in the Lord. All the money in the world means absolutely nothing when you leave this earth, because you can't take it with you. So why don't you use it to help others the way the Lord told us to? Why don't you use it to build his kingdom like he told us to? Because he goes on to say, and having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and come on now, withdraw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money. I want y'all to catch that, because that's not what the word says. The word says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's one of many. It's a root of all kinds of evil. It's not the root, but a root, which means you can have a whole lot of stuff that can cause you to do evil. But the love of money is one of them, a root of all kinds of evil. But which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Get so caught up in money and the lust for money that they forget about God. Whew, it's Sunday. K Can't go to church. I got to go to work. I got to make that money. Oh, it's Saturday and Sabbath. Oh, sorry. Nope. Can't go to that church meeting. Got to make that money. I get paid double on the weekend. So Saturday, Sunday, don't even ask me. No, not remember no Sabbath keeping anything holy. I got to make that money. Root all kinds of evil. No word, no prayer, no nothing. You know, you work 7 days a week on your job to make money, but have no time for God. Loving that money because you want the big house, the big car, the big everything, the big. Until you have so much and have hate in your heart. Bye. Fire. Until you understand the capitalists and vulture capitalists especially, who really are vultures, they will come in and buy a business and then tear it up to make money from it. And then who cares about the people that work there? I got my money. More money. You're going to have to stand before God. And all those people whose lives you took away because you wanted to make more money. God will hold you accountable. Believe that folks accountable who have done all the dirt that has been done in this world for greed. For money, destroying businesses, destroying families, for greed and money. And it goes on to tell us, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay a hold on eternal life to which you called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless. The Lord of Lords. We don't worship man, we worship God. And there's only one God, the Father. There's only one God, the Son. And there's only one God, the Holy Spirit. We worship God. Not man. We don't ring, we don't bow down to men. We don't bow down to statues and idols. That is idolatry. And we don't do it. We trust God. We love God. And we believe in God, who's always there, who's always with you, who will never leave you, who will never forsake you, because we stand on his word. Who, thank you, Jesus, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Apostle, you better preach this morning. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Come on now. I'm reading it again. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. You see it every day. Not to trust in uncertain riches. Come on now. But in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Until you get hit and your finances get lowered because you made the wrong investment, because you didn't do what God said do, because you bought that extra this or that. God sees it all. You have and you might be a have not. So you better understand nothing is promised. All of these billionaires don't understand. You can be a billionaire today and be a non-billionaire tomorrow, as Kanye West. God don't play. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, throwing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You cannot buy God's eternal life but through salvation. You can't go and say, well, Lord, I want to give you $1 billion so that I can make it into heaven. I got the money to get in. You know, I got the money to build that, you know, that house on the hill. It don't work that way. You can't buy God. God's not for sale. And that's what we got to understand. God is not for sale. The love of money, a root of all kinds of evil. Folks think they can buy their way into heaven at the last hour. It don't work like that. And he goes on to say, oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Come on. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you, amen. He was telling Timothy, you got to fight the good fight of faith. But let's go back to verse number 6 and 7 of chapter 7 and 8 of chapter 6. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. Learn how to be content. How can I learn to feel content? Many of today's workforce feel deeply discontented. If only I had a better boss or more money. If I could just work for that company. And so it goes. 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist exhorted disgruntled Roman soldiers to be content with their wages. It's still good advice. We can grow content when we see God as our sole provider. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Proverbs 30:8-9. We'll be getting that before the end of the year. We can also grow content as we focus on the necessities of life. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. 1 Timothy 6:7-8. Much of our restlessness comes from desiring the many perks our affluent culture offers. Come on. But do we really need them? Can we get along without designer jeans? God will often supply our wants out of his goodness and grace, but he promises to supply only our needs. We can grow content as we learn to express gratitude for what we have rather than complain about what we are missing. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content for such things as you have. Come on, Hebrews 13:5. Solomon said, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. Ecclesiastes 6:9. God already has blessed us with so much. Satan schemes to redirect our focus to what eludes us, thus fostering a malignant virus of discontent. Instead, why not take inventory for all that God has blessed you with? Thank him for each and every blessing you know. This morning, whew, thank you, God. Confirmation. Pastor Fred, was just speaking on counting your blessings this morning. We got to count our blessings. This is in the wind. So when you hear it again, you'll know it's coming from God, that we got to count our blessings. And as we continue, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:11. Paul could feel satisfied with his often harsh lot in life because his communion with the Savior filled his heart to overflowing. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. We hear it all the time. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The desire of your heart should be more Jesus. The desire of your heart should be closer to God. The desire of your heart should not be stuff. God knows some of us have more stuff than we have room for. And it's time to get rid of some things. We got to get rid of greed. We got to get rid of hatred. We got to get rid of envy. We got to get rid of all those things weighing people down. And it goes on to tell us in 6 and 9 of 1 Timothy, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. I don't need to be rich, but I love being content. I love God providing all that I need, every bill paid, clothes on my back, food in my belly, my children and grandchildren being taken care of, making sure that my kids don't have to go to GoFundMe to bury me. Come on now. Get some insurance. They got it for $9.99. And we need to go ahead and do the things to help our families. And it goes on to say the Bible condemns the desire to get rich, not because having money is a sin, but because money makes a terrible master. People who make it their goal to get rich do serve money and therefore can't serve God. You better say it. Matthew 6:24. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a fight because many obstacles and challenges stand in the way of its development advance. That fight is good because it leads to eternal life and an everlasting home with God. We got to fight the fight of faith. We got to understand who we belong to. I am a child of God, and he loves me, and I love him. And 1 Timothy 6:18, let them do good that they be rich in good works. You hear me say all the time, it's time to go to work. Not because I'm going to work for money, but because I'm going to work for God. Because wherever you go, you take him with you. You take him to your job. You take him to the market. You take him to church. You take him in your car. You take him to the gas station. Because you ask him, Lord, make sure I have enough money to put some gas in my car. Because I got to go to work. So I have enough money to pay what I need to pay to make sure my church continues running. That I can give a little to charity. That I can give what I need to give to those that are in need. Even if it's a blanket, God. It's getting cold. We got to understand that whatever we do for God. Why? Because we love him and we love God. 1 Timothy 6:8, let them do good that they be rich in good works. God blesses us financially, not simply so that we can spend his blessing on ourselves, come on now, but so that we can use the resources he gives us to help others and to expand the kingdom of God. And that's our word for this morning. Thank you, Apostle Paul. Thank you, Prophet Jeremiah. Thank you, King David. Thank you, King Solomon. Thank you for listening in, family. God gets the glory in everything we do. And when we give God the glory, when we give God the praise, when we thank God every day for the new day, for your do-over, let your do today be better than your yesterday. And take God with you wherever you go. And our word for this morning from our prayer is this. Take courage. He said, come, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. We got to keep our eyes stayed on the Savior so we don't sink. And it says this, and I like to say, faithful God, you are consistent in your pursuit. How I became the object of your affection is a mystery. One that blows my mind, how the God of all creation chose me as his own before the foundation of the earth astounds me. You call me by name, knowing every detail about me. When you call for me to come, how could I let the safety of my comfort zone hold me back from meeting you? Your faith is in me, gives me the courage I need to step out into the unknown and meet you in the middle of it. Your love is more than I could have hoped for. It will forever be beyond my understanding. But a life lived with a Potter who formed my heart is my guide is better than any I could ever forge on my own. Your love is better than my wildest dreams. I will live out my thanks to you, giving you praise with every breath. And the question becomes, family, what is holding you back? Stepping out, where God is calling you. Is God calling you today? Is God calling you today? Whatever God is calling you to do, as Nike said, just do it. And I'm going to tell anybody who's called, it is not easy. It is not easy. But do it for God. And our word this morning for my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Woo! All up in the word this morning. Good morning. When you surrender you for. When you surrender you for. Give it over to God. Planned for you. Have a triumphant Thursday. Have a thankful Thursday. And know that God loves you more than you could ever imagine. And one more time, when you surrender, give yourself away so God can lead you, restore. Give it over to God. He has great things planned for you. Have a triumphant Thursday. And I'm thankful every day that God has blessed me to work for him. And I thank God for each of you listening in, that listen live, that listen later. I thank God for you. We getting the word of God in the atmosphere. And I pray that someone catches it and knows that God loves you. And just remember, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Don't let money take over your life. Let God guide you in how to use the money that he gives you. Because he will give you riches and glory. He will give you everything you need. He will give you overflow. If you're wondering, Lord, what in the world am I supposed to do with all of this? He will guide you. He will lead you. He will take you where you need to go. Keep trusting God and watch him work in your life. Have a blessed day, family. Thank you so much again for listening in. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Because it is what? Time to go to work. Love you. Be blessed. It's a wrap.